Welcome to Shattering Myths, devoted to the largest segment of society, to those who know that the world's religious, political, economic, and military institutions are corrupt, rotten to the core, and that they have become counterproductive. They're working against your interests. You ought not rely on them. You ought not support them. I am Yada. Our number, if you'd like to join us at any time in this war of words, not of weapons, is 877-376-45. Typically, we begin with a review of the news. We do so because it's important that people understand the myths that surround us relative to patriotism, militarism, relative to economic schemes and fiat currencies, Federal Reserves and quantitative easing, international debt and what it means, the myths associated with all things, including religion and politics, international relations, the wars that are, and terror strikes that are permeating our world, so that we have a better understanding of the world as it actually is, and also so that we understand why God asked us to walk away from these human institutions before we even begin in a discussion with him, much less a relationship. But on Fridays, we reverse the order to accommodate a very special regular guest on this program, IQ Al Rasuli. And so we have our other very special regular guest on this program in the first hour. Kirk, how are you?
Good morning. I'm doing just fine.
Good. And we are talking about a subject that I don't think is discussed very often.
No.
I would tell you that my guess is that apart from this program, there hasn't been a radio program on circumcision in probably a decade.
No, I think you'd be a pretty safe ground there.
Yeah. But we're laughing. It's funny. We're going to commence again. This is probably our fifth hour now on circumcision. And we're going to continue to discuss it. And it is truly amazing, because how many signs are there of the covenant?
One.
What is it?
Circumcision.
Oh, there you go. And how many covenants are there?
There's only one.
Did God suggest that there was any way for a person to be saved that isn't a member of his covenant family?
No, sir, it sure didn't.
No, so there's only one way to be saved, and that's to be part of the covenant. There's only one covenant, and it has but one sign, circumcision.
Pretty important.
So you'd think that somewhere out there, amongst the 7 billion people in the world,
mm-hmm.
there would be some people out there interested in signing up for the one and only covenant so that they can enjoy the one and only means to salvation. And there might be a few people saying, hey, you know, that's a really important topic. We ought to talk about that.
Well, they do talk about it. They just talk about it from Paul's version.
Yeah, I don't even think they talk about it from Paul's version.
Well, a tiny bit, but that's what they...
What I think they do is they just simply say, well, you know, Paul spoke, they told us that this was not necessary and counterproductive. After all, isn't he the, by his own words, the messenger to the uncircumcised?
Yes.
So since you have to be circumcised to be part of the covenant, wouldn't that mean that he is the messenger to all those estranged from God?
Yeah. You might note it just reminded me that that's what Dode said when he ran across Goliath. He said, who is this uncircumcised guy hollering at us?
Yeah, exactly. So, if Paul is the messenger to those estranged from God,
mm-hmm.
then his message estranges people from God.
That's the only conclusion you can draw. I mean, it's not a game. That's it. Point blank.
Are you familiar with the Hebrew word azab?
Azab, yeah, but go ahead.
Okay. Azab means to separate, to estrange. Which is to forsake. In religious parlance, you would see azab translated to damn.
Okay. Right.
So, for example, Yosha's last words on the upright pole would be, he would say, my God, which was from El, My God, El, with the Y at the end of it makes it first person singular. My God, so Eli, Eli. Y, which is in Hebrew, is Ma, that indicates the interrogative. Why have you, and this would be the verb to exist, to be, Haya, forsaken me?
Mm-hmm.
He said Azab.
Yes.
Azab. Azab is introduced to us throughout the Torah, Prophets, and Psalms, but there is an entire book devoted to the concept of Azab. Hosha. And Hosha, known as Hosea to those with a the religious copy edits of God's testimony. He was asked to go marry a religious priestess prostitute.
Right.
And Yahweh said, I want you to do that because I'm going to communicate to you what Israel has done to me. And I want your words to convey a sense of passion and understanding that's only possible if you experience what it's like to be married to a whore. To a religious slut.
Unfaithful. Right.
Yeah. That's willing to do everybody and anybody for a dime. That sells herself for money. I want you to understand what religion is like from my eyes. That's why he calls the Hasatan the whore of Babylon.
Mm-hmm.
Satan doesn't have a sex. But he's referred to, and we refer to him as the adversary under he, but Yahweh says that the Satan, the adversary, is a whore. And so the whole experience of Israel divorcing herself from Yahweh by being unfaithful, and Yahweh having to acknowledge that divorce, is that's the subject of the book of Hosea. And Azab is a reoccurring theme, which means by doing so, you have separated yourself from it. You have estranged yourself from God. Can anyone be part of the covenant family if they're estranged from God?
No, separation is separation. I mean, pretty...
If you're separated from God, there's only two outcomes for your soul, aren't there?
Mm-hmm. When you die, or just cease to exist, which is 90% of it, probably, or more.
Right.
And the other, you have to go someplace where he's not, and that would be Sheol.
Right, the place of separation, named after their favorite prophet.
After their favorite prophet, Shaul.
Shaul, yeah. So when Paul wrote that he was the messenger to the uncircumcised, he was saying that he was the messenger of Azab. Of
now,
separation, of, let's use the religious term, because it fits here. He's the messenger of damnation.
Mm-hmm.
To damn is to separate.
Now, that's so obvious to me now, because I read better translations, and I got enough sense to look it up. How did they leave it on the cutting floor all this time?
Yeah, how did they? You know, when Paul says overtly that if you're circumcised, you can't be saved. When Paul says overtly that Yahweh's Torah cannot save, when Paul says overtly that the covenant memorialized in the Torah is of Hagar and enslaves, when he said that the Torah is equated to pornography, and when he said that he was the messenger to the estranged, the uncircumcised, those outside the covenant and those, therefore, the unsaved, the unknown to God. Why did the practitioners of Christianity, the forefathers, leave that and not edit it out of the script?
Yeah, that's the question Terry always asks, you know, rhetorically, I guess. But
yes.
But why did they not take all that stuff out? I mean,
you know, they didn't
well,
even take out in 2 Corinthians when Paul writes that his ego was so gargantuan, because he actually positions himself as God.
Yeah.
He positions himself as the Savior. He positions himself as the one who can tell no lies, the one who is the father to his
That's
children.
That's really funny.
Yeah. Yeah, the one who had to complete the salvation work that that God himself was unable to do. That when he presents himself that way, his ego is so out of kilter that he says that Satan had to possess him. And they left that in. It's right there in 2 Corinthians. You know, when Yosha said, if anybody claims to see me in the wilderness, prior to the entire world seeing me at the same time, their line, do not follow them. And then Paul says, you know, in the wilderness on the road to Damascus, I saw him, and I'm myself and maybe a couple other guys were the only ones that saw him. At that point, you have to know that he's lying. Who else could be the false apostle in Revelation that they left in besides he and Timothy? And, the opening letter to the Ephesians, he speaks of the fact that there was a false apostle, somebody claiming to be an apostle who was an imposter. Who else other than Paul and his love interest, Timothy, qualify? We can scour human history. Is there any other person who claimed to be an apostle who had a view that was the antithesis of Yahuconans and Yoshas?
No, most of them didn't even have that big. That's when you go to Kibanol, you're still not as far away as Paul got.
Oh, but Akiba didn't go to Ephesus.
Paul no, did. he wasn't there at the same time either. Yeah.
No, but Akiba. First of all, Akiba followed. Was 40 or 50 years after Revelation was run, written. Paul was before it, and Akiba never went to Ephesus.
Mm-hmm.
Paul and Timothy did. And their testimony, according to Paul, was the antithesis of what Yosha said. No. Who else could be the wolf in sheep's clothing that is opposed to the Torah? Who else do we know in all of human history?
Nobody.
There was a Benjamite pretending to be true. My friend Kirk, this doesn't seem like it's all that difficult now, does it?
Not now.
Here's, you know, that, let's go right back in, jump right back in where we were.
Okay.
You've thought about this some, and so has your wife, Terry.
Uh-huh.
My guess is you've even read the rewrite of Questioning Paul that's about 4,000 pages long now. It's about 1,300 pages long. God had a lot to say about Paul, turns out. I didn't know that at the time I wrote the first version of it. But when you recognize that Yosha began his Sermon on the Mount. I'm going to use a religious term just because people will know. Okay,
yeah.
Sermon on the Mount. It really wasn't Sermon on the Mount. He didn't do sermons. He did instruction because he was the living embodiment of Yahweh's instruction, which is his Torah.
Yeah.
When he began that by talking about Yahweh in terms of Heavenly Father,
mm-hmm.
knowing what you need, being there for his children,
right.
Talks about that there is a narrow path
mm-hmm.
to life and a broad path to death and destruction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why, just before we even get to what he had to say about the Torah, why at that point can there be a religion like Christianity? Aren't there like 2.5 billion Christians on the planet today?
Well, there's certainly, there's probably close to it. Are people that are influenced by it?
1.2, I guess, billion Catholics. Talk about idiots. Yeah. About a billion Orthodox Christians.
Mm-hmm.
And at least 300,000-400,000 Protestant Christians.
At least.
Yeah. And then you got the derivations of Christianity weird, Mormonism and Scientology. You know, yeah. Scientology's got a church, so it's... I'm going to put it under the category, and Pentecostal. So Christianity weird. I mean, not that Christianity is ever good in any form, but okay, so you've got all of those people, 2.5 billion of them. Would you say that's a lot?
I would say that's a huge amount.
Would you say that there's any way in, you know, I know that art's your thing, not math, but would you say that there's any possible way that something that is so popular that there's 2.5 billion of them could be narrow and few?
Absolutely impossible.
So, Yosha began the Sermon on the Mount, the Instruction on the Mount, by specifically, and you can read this, it's in Matanyah, right?
Mm-hmm.
Begins, you know, 5, 6, and 7 in Matanyah. That's the longest declaration Yosha makes. And right there it begins by him telling you that the way to life is narrow and very few find it. And that, by the way, it's a gateway that leads to life and that it is very narrow. It goes against the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't that mean that what he said there makes any popular religion, including the religion that's named after a corruption of his title, Christianity?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't it mean that it is impossible that it leads to life?
It absolutely is. I guess they're just little groups like I was, where we thought, well, at least some of us got it right. You know,
but you know, it is just that statement alone,
mm-hmm,
says us that a religion like Christianity, impossible.
It's impossible.
It is the broadest of all paths, and Yosha said that the broad path leads to the death and destruction of one's soul.
Yeah, can't pay death.
Yeah. You know, if you're rational and you're aware that he said that, and he did, just look it up for yourself. Read Matanyah 5. You know, we have Don, who's one of my favorite people, who just says every time to a Christian, read Matthew 5, 6, and 7 and deal with it.
That's right. I've heard him say that.
Yeah, just read 5, 6, and 7 and deal with it. It's absolutely wholly and completely destructive of Christianity in every form. So he begins by saying that, and then he goes on to say, do not think that I came to annul or do away with the Torah. What's Paul's big claim?
That it's annulled.
That once this Jesus Christ came, it was no Jesus Christ, it's Yosha. But once Yosha came, that the Torah was done away with. The Torah was a placeholder until he came, and then once he came, we have a new religion. We got a whole new covenant now.
New deal.
And what? How does Yosha begin his instruction on the mount?
I haven't come to change nothing.
I didn't come to annul or do away with the Torah. And then Christians will say, "Oh, but the next line explains that he came to fulfill it." And to fulfill, how does fulfill mean do away with, if in fact he said, I didn't come to do away with it?
Yeah, he wouldn't contradict himself in the same sentence.
I don't think so. My friend Kirk, when Yosha said, do not think that I came to do away with the Torah, Christians will dismiss that statement. Because they'll focus on what he said next. He says, I came to fulfill it. And in their minds, they have been so indoctrinated, so twisted in their thinking, if you can even call it that, in their believing, that they then say that fulfill means to do away with.
Mm-hmm.
If you were to borrow money, and you were to make a commitment to pay it back, and then you pay back the money, you fulfilled your obligation, did you do away with the obligation, or did you simply honor your obligation?
Honored.
Yeah, the debt, the money didn't go away. You had to pay it back, and to pay it back doesn't cause the debt instrument to be invalid.
Okay.
When get in a deal with somebody, and somebody says, "All right, I'll tell you what, I'll pay you $100,000, but I want you to paint my rusted wagon."
Mm-hmm.
All right. I got this whole rusted wagon. You need to knock the rust off it. And I really want a nice paint. I'm going to pay you $100,000. You paint my rusted wagon. If you painted my rusted wagon, and I fulfilled my obligation, I would need to write you a check for $100,000. Does that do away with my obligation, or is it just leave us as we made an agreement, you honored the agreement, I honored the agreement?
Yeah, both parties lived up to what they,
right.
they would do.
And we have, at this point, a really nice painted wagon, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
The wagon didn't go away either, did it?
No.
No. The money didn't go away? The wagon didn't go away. And you can't view this concept of fulfill meaning go away when the first part of the sentence says, do not think that I came to do away with.
But he's also only talking about part of the fulfilling only part of his promise to begin with.
Right. I mean, well, in fact, he would go on, he says,
victory.
Yeah, he says,
it was just the first four.
Right. He actually then went on to say that, that's true, that he only fulfilled the first four, and that's really important. The first four Moed Mikre had been fulfilled.
Was only three. No,
right.
No, he had already come back.
This Sermon on the Mount, he hadn't done any of them.
Okay.
He hadn't done any
of them. Sermon on the Mount.
At this point, he's 3 years away from fulfilling any of them.
Right.
Oh, yeah. No, he hadn't. Yeah. But then he says that not a single yod or tittle. My guess is that at this point, you are the world's foremost expert on yods and tittles.
Well, hardly, but I certainly understand.
No, I would probably put you as the world's foremost expert. I mean, that sounds funny, but I know it to be true, even though it sounds funny. And let me tell you why it's true that you are the world's foremost expert on the thing that Yosha spoke about next. Is that you? I think, and I would. We talk about this a lot on the evening program, the Shabbat program, which we'll do on VTR later today. That unless you know Yahweh, you are not qualified to translate His testimony. That an absolute prerequisite for communicating God's statements is knowing Him. If you don't know Him, you're incapable of conveying His testimony in a manner that's wholly consistent with His personality and intent, His plan. And so there are a couple of other guys that have written books on the original Paleo-Hebrew, ancient Hebrew alphabet.
Mm-hmm.
But neither of them know Yahweh.
It appears to be that way.
Both of them are still selling to Christians as Christians.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know Yahweh. And so here as an artist, and they're not artists, as an artist, you're looking at these, you're coming to understand all of the strokes, the yods, the hand, and the strokes that comprise the other letters as a member of Yahweh's family. It makes you... And you're the only person who is devoting himself entirely to this and sharing what you learn. You are the world's foremost expert on yods and tittles, which, you know, we want to laugh and say, okay, so I'm the world's foremost expert on yods and tittles. What's that going to get me at the market next time I walk through the aisle? Do I put that on a resume? And if I put that on my resume,
what are people... You're raised, right?
Yeah, but it's just like this is the only program on circumcision, and we're laughing about it.
Well, it's because it's sad. It's not laughter. It's kind of almost an amusement at how sad it is that, you know, the things that are talked about, discussed here, should be talked about all over the world. What's wrong with it?
Yeah. Can you tell me something that's more important than the yods and the tittles and the Yahweh's testimony?
Well, they're not a thing more important than
not a thing.
Letters that make up it. Once again, it's you know, because the letters actually mean something, they actually have a meaning all by themselves, and you cut
and then
the words to more words, and you, it just, this is how it all works.
Doesn't Yahweh equate himself to His word?
Absolutely.
Doesn't Yahusha present Himself as the word in the flesh?
The living word.
And aren't the words made up of these letters?
Yes, sir.
So, what could be more important? And if you were to rank a person's credentials, what credential would be more valuable than being the world's foremost expert on yods and tittles?
Well, just being somebody who likes to look at them all, them Shemar Torah. I mean,
yeah. You know, you're in, and I are in the same ilk here that I'm putting you in an uncomfortable spot by saying you're the world's foremost expert.
Yeah,
but
you
are.
You know about this, and I do.
You are. But the thing is that you only are because you enjoy it. You find
it
fun. You find it rewarding. It's something you and Terry can do together, and you get to bring your whole life experience to it.
Sure. That's true.
And, you know, that is the nature of the individual that we're speaking on behalf of.
Mm-hmm.
He likes to work with people so long as those people's proclivity is in the wheelhouse of what he's trying to communicate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, for example, Moshe was part of Egypt. He knew the politics, the militarism, he knew the patriotism, he knew the religion, he knew the economic schemes of Egypt.
Oh, yeah.
He was the perfect person for Yahweh to work through to explain, I'm drawing you away from that crud.
Uh-huh.
Perfect, right?
Yeah, he understood exactly what the crud was.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, as an artist, your background is really perfect to help people understand these letters that comprise the words of Yahweh's direction and teaching.
Yeah.
It's just like I only have, and I've said this a bunch of times, I only have one skill that I find, and I don't know if I'm any good at it, but it's one that I enjoy. It's the thing that I enjoy most, which is making connections. I've used the old thing about dot-to-dots. I just love the dot-to-dots and making connections and seeing how things that most people see as unrelated actually relate.
Very, yeah.
And I particularly love making the connection between cause and consequence.
Yeah.
And so that's my only thing that I would say, you know, I'm probably better than the average guy at doing that one thing.
You're very much so.
That's my thing. I love it. So as I approach Yahweh's word, that's really all I ever do. Mm-hmm. I apply my broken record, the one thing that I'm comfortable at. I apply the one thing I'm comfortable at, which is making connections to understanding what Yahweh had to say, and come to find out, just as you have, as you discover the letters, that Yahweh's word for understanding, bien, means to make connections.
Yeah, understand.
Yeah. So in fact, bien, which is to make connections, the three letters that comprise bien tell us everything we need to know about the reason that making connections so as to understand is valuable.
Mm-hmm.
Bien, the family home.
Yeah, family home.
The covenant.
Yeah.
With the and our ability to approach it by way of the hand of Yahweh himself.
Reaching down, yes.
Reaching down to lift us up. So that we, the next letter is the nun, which is the sperm, is the so that we can be children with an amazing inheritance.
Absolutely.
Born into that family.
Now, let me ask you a quick question. Azab, is that
right
with an aleph?
Yes, it is.
Okay, well then you got an aleph and a zain or a zan,
mm-hmm,
and a bayeth. I mean, Yahweh separating the family, or separating
wow
family out.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, in context of what,
yeah,
Bar-Rashid 17:11 and 10:11 and 12 are.
Right.
That's exactly
right
what he's talking about. He's not. We're doing it symbolically in the circumcision,
right,
which is
minor. Yeah. As a matter of fact, that would be the ram's horn keeping you away if you're a rival. Keeping you away. That's what the ram uses his horns for. The primary use of a ram's horn is to keep rivals at bay. Keep rivals away.
Yes.
And so if you've got a rival doctrine, he's using the ram's horn to keep you away. And the zane is...
Cutting out your mind as a plow. It cuts a path. It
right
does all of those things.
Yeah, total separation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm drawing a line in the sand. And you are separated from the Baeth household and family.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. That's worth looking at.
That is worth looking at. And then,
you don't have to be a genius, because I sure ain't, you know, but it's, you can certainly connect the dots there, even if you're not the great connector like you are. I mean, I can put that together. I can look at the stuff and say, wow, that's pretty, you know. Once again, he has hammers it home over and over and over. And, you know, half of these words are not more than two or three letters long. It's not like it's a great, it's not like having to learn 650,000 English words to figure out what in a dictionary.
Yeah. My God. Would you consider yourself a great artist or as a person who loves art?
Well, I'm pretty good. I'm not great because I know what the great ones really look like, but I certainly have a passion for it.
You've got passion for it, and you've got confidence in it.
Yeah.
And making connections, I would never use the term great. I would say, well, you know, I have a passion for it, and I'm pretty good at it.
Yeah.
You know, and,
but you can be an expert in your field. You can certainly learn to do things very, very, very well.
And yeah, absolutely.
You've certainly done that.
Absolutely. So when we return, we'll continue to listen to what Yosha had to say about the Torah. We'll be back. Has the harvest of saved souls, which will be the fulfillment of Teruah, which is the fifth of the Moed Mikre, the invitation to be called out and meet with God. Has that occurred?
No.
Has the tribulation begun?
No, but we're getting mighty close.
Has the Magog War been fought?
I think it's begun, but it's not been fought. The big time battles have not happened yet, no.
Right. Has Yahweh returned?
No.
Has the thousand-year celebration of the Shabbat begun?
Well, that certainly has not happened. No.
Has Yahweh reaffirmed and renewed his covenant with Yisrael and with Yehuda?
In our hearts? No, sir.
And he has not written his Torah in our hearts yet, has he?
No.
So there are things that have not yet been fulfilled in the Torah and prophets. Would that be correct?
That was absolutely correct. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know how things look from Northern California, but as I look out my window, the heavens and earth still exist.
They do indeed.
So how does a Christian reconcile that every yod, which is the hand reaching down and out to us, the letter that begins Yahweh's name, and tittle, which are the strokes that we're discussing on the rest of these letters, shall continue to exist until they're all fulfilled, and so long as the heavens and it's not until they're all fulfilled that the heavens and the earth will cease to exist. And so heavens and earth still exist, so they can't have been done away with.
No, it must be. You just have to look at it as romantic poetry or something.
But he's the guy that Christians say that they base their religion on, and his first statement says exactly the opposite of their religion.
Yes, they got...
I mean, there's no way to romance your way. You can't romance your way out of that, friend.
No, the absurdity of the whole thing is like they're going... Also, we were told as Christians you're going to usher in the millennium. I beg your pardon? The Shabbat is when you shut up and sit down and relax, and he does all
right.
The work.
Right, yeah, he's returning to earth to be here and to return it to the conditions of the Garden of Eden where we just get to enjoy.
Yeah.
During the Shabbat, by the way.
Yeah, during the Shabbat.
And he's going to do this as he fulfills the seventh and final Moed Mikre of Sukkah, of shelters, camping out with us.
It's so absurd that it's almost nauseating.
It is. We're laughing again because it's so bemusing that 2.5 billion people could be played for fools over something this ridiculous.
Yeah.
To be a sob.
It's not like I'm laughing at other people. I'm laughing at myself. I mean, I bought the thing because I figured there's got to be some truth in there somewhere, but how stupid.
So when Yahweh spoke in Bereshith 17:11,
mm-hmm.
Genesis, the first book of the Torah, and said, "And you shall cut off and separate your foreskin's association with the flesh, with your animal nature."
Right.
And this will exist as, this was, is, and forever will be, as the sign to remember,
oath,
to illustrate and explain the pledge regarding the miraculous nature of the covenant, the family-oriented covenant relationship, bereth, between me for the purpose of making a connection, bien, my favorite Hebrew word, and between you, promoting understanding, wa bien. So, what part of that is invalid according to Yosha?
None. Zero.
So,
he has a plan.
Did he list any other sign of the covenant?
Nowhere.
Did he say, you know, if it pleases you, and if it doesn't, you know, get in the way of other things that you're doing,
yeah,
and if you wouldn't mind, you know, I would appreciate it if you would indicate your interest in being part of the family by considering the possibility, among many other options, of being circumcised. Was it written like that?
No. What would be another better sign?
Yeah, really. The separation? Cut? You know, when Yahweh says that he established the covenant, do you know the word that he uses for he established? It's karat.
Oh, karat, yeah. Okay.
You know what karat means?
Cut. It means to cut.
It means to cut. So he cut the covenant. Cut a line. Just like that plow draws a line in the sand, cuts the soil on either side. He cut the covenant. To be circumcised is to be cut. Put the pieces together.